Hey everybody, and welcome to Rabbit's Ramblings, podcast 444. This time I have Bistro, which is a super cute, cozy game, and that's all for this time. Hopefully, you'll enjoy the show. Bistro is a super cute casual game. It is mostly made up of a bunch of mini games and wandering around town and talking to the people and doing various things. It seems like it is targeting young adults and it is very cute and cozy. Challenges are more fun than stressful, and card deck building isn't overly complicated. It feels like an old school Nintendo or maybe PlayStation 1 kind of game. Similar in a way that I felt when I was playing Cat's Quest 3. The game is divided into basically three phases. There is the day phase, where you do most of your gathering of things around town and talking to NPCs. Then you open the restaurant, where you will make meals for the city people and the caretaker that you are sending out on an adventure at night. And then is the night phase, where you can do some gathering at night before the tea house or after the tea house. It is up to you. But once you go into the tea house, that is where you will talk to the caretaker and see how their adventure went and do the card game minigame. I tend to do my garden tending first thing right when I get up. That's where you can grow various ingredients for making the dishes for the people and the caretaker. All around the city, there are different locations things can spawn, but there are pretty much fixed locations for certain things, so it is best if you make sort of a pattern to follow every day to make it kind of super efficient, I guess. It's not super tedious, but it is kind of very easy to forget to check certain areas in the city for various things that spawn around town. During the restaurant cooking phase, you'll do different mini games based on what ingredients the dish is using. For example, if you have to do chopping, that's pretty much a one-button tapping kind of game, timing it to when the thing comes by, when you need to chop it. And then pan cooking is moving ingredients around the pan, but avoiding certain bubbles that can burn them. There are several different mini games, but each time you do this specific thing, it will be that minigame, though there are a couple of different versions of the minigame. They have like an easy version and then like a hard version. I don't think I've seen too many that have a third version, but I suppose that is possible. As you get experience and level up, as it were, there are no actual levels, I don't think, but you can get different experience gains for various things. But you will unlock different things in your chef's sort of menu of things that you know how to make, and you use these different things in making different meals. And when you make a meal for a caretaker, it is kind of a puzzle minigame in terms of you want to arrange it in a certain way on the dish, and there's different buffs or abilities you'll get based on the things you put in the dish, as well as determining which cards that the caretaker will get and take with them on the adventure. So it's kind of a deck building slash puzzle phase. It is pretty cool. You just have to sort of be careful to balance what they want versus what you think they might need in the deck. However, be sure to remember to pick which caretaker you want to go to the restaurant before you get to that phase and open the restaurant. Otherwise, it will just default to the last one that you picked. This is important because they each have sort of different starting decks that they will have with them at all times. Like the first one you meet will be umami flavor, which is green. So if you want cards other than green cards, You will have to build them when you make the meal, or you might want to pick a different caretaker. When you do make a meal and build the deck, it is a little bit tricky, and that the adventure card game puppet show is matched on color and card strength. There are 6 ingredients. The one is tough to get access to early on. It's mostly a later game one. But each one has an ingredient they are strengthened by and one that they are balanced by. When you are fighting a monster out in the wild, you want to have your cards enhanced and increase the ability of card you play, and ideally get the one that balances against the one that the monster is using, because that will cut its power in half. This will make a lot more sense when you actually see it and play it for a little bit. And that's really all of the basics of the cycle of the day and the play. You'll start your day, do the restaurant phase, then go to the night phase and see how the adventure went with the caretaker that went out on it. As you progress through the different lands that they are fighting in, you'll get different conversations unlocked to talk to people around town, as well as unlocking new recipes. When researching new ingredients that you find out in the wild, you can fail the attempt, but seemingly you can fail it as many times as you need, because I had one that was a special carrot, and I thought I only had a limited number of tries, but it seemed to just let me keep retrying it, no matter how many times I failed. So failing it was a little bit stressful, but knowing I had seemingly an infinite number of attempts to learn the new ingredient was pretty cool. There are some other thoughts I have that aren't really tied to any particular phase. When something comes up in town, like it's someone you want to talk to or something you need to pay attention to, there will be a really big marker for it that is very easy to see pretty much whenever you're looking that general direction. So if you see some marker and you're like, ooh, what's that marker? That means that's something you need to go talk to or do. So don't forget to do those. As you complete quests and do achievements in the in-game book that tracks your achievements, you'll get stuff to personalize the restaurant. These all pretty much seem to equally increase the restaurant appeal. There wasn't like a tier system where it was just like, you know, you want to get the highest tier thing. Pretty much seemed like there was only 2 tiers, so there were a lot of choices that were the same sort of amount of points and appeal. So that gives you a lot of flexibility in how you want to make your restaurant look, which is pretty cool. You also get some outfits to change your chef outfit, which I kind of liked the basic paw one, so I never really changed his look. Also, remember when you are making the caretaker meal, which builds their deck, remember which ingredients balance or boost which, because where you place them on the table will alter how much flavor or how little flavor that increases, and each time they will have sort of a range of how much flavor of each thing they want. So we want to keep track and keep it within that range. This, again, will make more sense when you actually play it and see it in motion. It took me about 15 hours to finish, but I actually got stuck sort of in the second area for a few hours, but I also didn't 100% the game. So depending on if you want to 100% it or if you want to speedrun it, it will probably take more or less time than 15 hours. But I would say plan on it being about that much. One very important note is that if you do the final boss fight and you win, you'll basically have to go back to the point before that adventure if you want to play anything else, which I suppose if you then fail the adventure, it will just go back to cycling another new day, and then you can change what it is you are doing that next day to not be the final boss fight if you want. Say you got like 85% of the way through all of the recipes and such, and you're like, oh no, I didn't know that would like stop me. But it doesn't really, you can just, you know, fail the adventure and then go back and finish out those other things you hadn't finished yet. There are a couple of bad points to mention, and these are all put here together at the end. You can't run anything in fast forward, really. When you're moving around town, you're doing so at a fixed regular speed, and when you are doing animations during the puppet shows. Those play at a fixed speed. You can press the button and sort of fast forward through conversations, but certain other things you can't really fast forward, so it's kind of one speed of play, which would be nice if they did have, you know, a faster speed. You probably don't want to run the mini games at faster speeds, but things like running around town or seeing the animations play during the puppet show card battles that the caretaker had that evening, you know, there does get to be kind of a point where you maybe wish it was running a little bit faster, which you can't do currently. So each day seemed to me to be about 30 minutes each time, which is good and bad. You know when that's coming. But the good point is that it seems like you can save pretty much any time you want during that day. I don't know if you can save in the middle of the puppet show for the adventure that happened, but it seemed like pretty much any other time I was just running around town, I could just save and then quit out and then come back later. So it seemed super flexible in terms of how much time you wanted to spend playing. One video note, what you are seeing if you are watching the YouTube video is medium settings. It defaulted to epic settings, but that seemed to really push my system in terms of how much heat and noise it was generating. And so I turned it down because I didn't want, you know, that much. And it didn't really seem to make any difference visually. So I don't know if my system is just capped and it just showed the same effects basically, or if epic settings really are better quality. I don't know. I really liked how things looked at the medium settings. It seemed to run really fast. And for my laptop, it was quite a bit quieter. For my final verdict, I do recommend it and like it very much. But be aware that it is only about 10 to 20 hours. You know, like I said, plan on that 15 hours, depending on how much you want to complete. And it really is a collection of a bunch of different minigames. So if you play a day or two and you're just not into it, or if you play a day or two and you're just fine and having fun, then, you know, be mindful that it's pretty much going to cycle like that for the rest of the game. You know, you'll get new minigames as you go along, but basically it's the same kind of thing. Go around town, gather stuff, talk to some people, play some minigames. It does also have a very linear story. Each conversation has just a straight path. There's no options for you to pick different things to say. So that aspect, I think, is not very replayable. But like I said, you can push the button to sort of fast forward through it if you want to replay for the gameplay, but not go and see, you know, all the detailed conversations again. But it is super cute. It has a very good story and cool world worth seeing. And so again, I would highly recommend it. I got it on sale, I think, for around $10. It looks like when I last checked, it was around $20. So that might be a little high, depending on what you think a game that costs $20 should be in terms of hours. For me, I try to keep it under $1 an hour, so that's kind of pushing it. But I would absolutely recommend it at $15, or maybe even if you can get a sale that's even better than that, that would be even better. It is, I think, on Game Pass, so if you are subscribed to that, then you know you have it for free as part of that. In regular news, I am very sore and very tired. I have had a very terrible last 2 days. My car seems like it has a starter which has died, so the car is not starting. Tomorrow morning, in theory, we will have them looking at it. My friend who helps me out sometimes said he would pay for it if it wasn't super expensive, so that would be really great because I do not know how I would otherwise be able to afford to fix that. So that is really super terrible. You know, in the line of super terrible things, it just seems to keep getting worse. I had to burn all of my money that I had saved for bills on a battery just 3 months ago. And then somebody broke into my car like a month and a half, 2 months ago, I think. And then that was another 200. And now there's, you know, probably upwards of 500 for this starter. So this has been just horrible. I don't know if I'm going to be able to recover from it. But I don't know. All I can do is keep trying and keep hoping things are okay. I don't know what I'll talk about next time, but hopefully I'll see everybody then. Okay, thanks, bye.
You have been listening to Rabbit's Ramblings. If you would like to see the show notes or feed the bunny by sending a donation, you can find the show website at www.rabbit.com/podcast/rabbitsramblings.html. When you type Rabbit's Ramblings, don't use a space. If you would like to send me an email, you can do so at rabbit@rabbit.com. If you like my page, you can also post on Facebook at rabbit.com. You can follow me on YouTube at rabbitdot.com. I have a page on Patreon at www.patreon.com/rabbit1t. You can set up a monthly recurring subscription there at a price point of your choice. Be sure to put the number 1 in place of I anytime you type rabbit.
Rabbit's Ramblings is copyright Eric Stryker, using a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Derivatives License 2026.